Chapter 59. Durzo's heart had just leapt out that goddamn window. He walked to the window and watched until he saw Kylar surface. Amazing. In all my years, I never tried anything so dumb, and here he does it on his first day. And it works. Kylar clambered onto shore and began working his way north. Durzo knew where he was headed. The stubborn fool. He'd always had that streak, from the time he'd refused to accept that he'd failed in Rat's murder and had gone and killed the Twist in the next 3 hours. Kylar did what he thought was right, and to hell with the consequences, to hell with what anyone thought, even Durzo. He reminded Durzo of Jorsen Alkestis. Kylar had chosen his loyalty to Durzo and clung to it despite Durzo. He'd put faith in Durzo Blint, as Jorsen had put faith in him. Kylar was just a damned kid, but he'd also put his faith in a much worse man than a Kalus Thorn. The pain resonated along every string in Durzo Blint's life. He'd been 1,000 kinds of fraud in his years, so everyone who had believed in him during his deceptions could be written off. But Jorsen had known him. Kylar had known him, not for the first time in 7 centuries. Existence ached. All the world was salt, and Durzo Blint was an open wound. Where did I go wrong? He moved, because like every man a Kalus Thorn had been, Durzo Blint was a man of action. His talent puddled around his hands and feet. Funny that it still worked like that, despite losing the Kakari. And he stepped out of the window. He didn't fall. The magic around his feet gripped the stone, and he pitched forward, catching himself with his hands so that he hung face down on the castle wall like an insect. Kylar hadn't learned all of Durzo's tricks. Hell, he hadn't even seen all of Durzo's tricks. He knew where Kylar was headed, and he knew how to get there faster than Kylar could, so he was in no hurry. The clash of arms in the courtyard attracted his attention. He cloaked himself in shadows and crawled down to the courtyard. The battle was deadlocked. 200 Cenarian guardsmen and the 40 or more useless nobles with them couldn't budge the 100 Caladorans who were blocking the gate to East Kingsbridge. The Caladorans had 6 Meisters with them, but this late in the battle, they weren't doing much except psychologically. They'd used pretty much as much magic as they were able to. With eyes long honed in battle and the arts of assassination, Durzo picked out the cornerstones of the battle. Sometimes that was simple. Officers were usually important. Meisters always were. But sometimes there were simple soldiers in the lines who were strength for all men around them. If you killed the cornerstones, the whole battle would shift. On the Caladoran side, the cornerstones were 2 officers and 3 of the Meisters, and 1 giant of a Highlander. On the Cenarian side, there were only 2, a sergeant with an Alatiran longbow, and Terra Grayson. The sergeant was a simple soldier, probably in his first battle despite his age, and Durzo knew the look on his face. He was a man who had joined the military to find his measure and had finally found it in battle. He had passed his own crucible and approved of himself. It was a potent thing, that approval, and every man around the sergeant felt it. Terra Grayson, of course, would have stood out in any crowd. She was all tits and haughtiness, a vision in her torn cerulean gown. She believed no harm would dare step into her presence. She believed everyone around her would obey her. And the men felt that, too.
"Sergeant Gamble," a familiar voice said, just below Durzo.
The sergeant loosed another arrow, killing a Meister, but not one of the important ones. Count Drake emerged from the front gate and grabbed the sergeant.
"Another 100 Highlanders on their way," Count Drake said. his voice almost swallowed by the clash of arms and the press of men back and forth in the courtyard. The sight of the Count packed the wound Kylar had opened with more salt. Durzo had thought the Count was staying home, but here he was, still ill from Durzo's poison, about to die with all the rest.
"Damn it!"
Sergeant Gamble cursed. Durzo turned away from them. The Cenarians would be slaughtered. It was out of his hands. He had his own date with judgment.
"Night Angel!" the sergeant yelled. "If you fight with us still, fight now! Night Angel! Come!"
Durzo froze. He could only guess Kylar had already intervened in the castle somehow.
"Very well, Kylar. I'll do this for you, and the Count, and for Jorson, and for all the fools who believe that even a killer may accomplish some good." "Give me your bow," Durzo said.
It was a hard, menacing voice, pitched with talent to carry. Sergeant Gamble's head whipped around, and he and Count Drake looked at the shadow over the gate. The sergeant threw him his bow and a fresh quiver of arrows. Durzo caught the bow in his hand and the quiver with his talent. As he drew one arrow, he pulled another from the quiver with his talent. He squatted against the vertical face of the wall and in an instant locked his deaders into his mind's eye. The giant Highlander went down first, an arrow catching him between the eyes. Then the Meisters, every last one of them. Then the officers. Then a wedge of the Highlanders directly in front of the bridge. Durzo emptied the quiver of 20 arrows in less than 10 seconds. It was, Durzo thought, some damn fine shooting. Of course, Galen Starfire had been quite a hand with the longbow. Durzo tossed the bow back to Sergeant Gamble, who didn't seem to comprehend yet what had happened. Count Drake was a different matter. He didn't even look at the courtyard as the Cenarian line surged forward into the gap. He wasn't surprised at the sudden hesitation in the Caladoran ranks that, within seconds, would turn into a rout. He was looking toward Durzo. Sergeant Gamble uttered an awed curse, but Count Drake's mouth opened to bestow a blessing. Durzo couldn't take it. He was already gone. No more blessings. No more mercy. No more salt. No more light in my dark corners. Let this end. Please.